Has anybody ever gotten older? Seems like the longer I live, the older I get. There is only one alternative to getting older. And the more I look at it, the better that option looks. I'm not too worried about that day. But as long as the Lord has me here, I want to do what I'm supposed to do. Explanation of some things this morning. I threw my back out on Thursday, and it was at the end of the day, and I was getting ready to take a bath. I turned the water on, and I reached down to check the temperature of it, and the old back just popped and locked up, and I was done. And this happens to me a few times a year. It's just kind of one of those chronic things that I have to deal with from time to time. However, as I have been asked no less than four times this morning about the senior citizen discount, and I know where that information came from, sweet, beautiful wife, we're doing some shopping yesterday, and of course I'm kind of hobbling around, buying this little bitty jar. It's $1.99, and I get up there to the counter, and I said, "Here's, I'm going to buy this little jar." And she rang it up. She said, "Well, that's $2.15, but because you're over 55, you get the senior citizen discount. Brings it down to $1.50. So I had $3 cash. I was ready to give, you know, $2 plus change, whatever. So I just gave her $2. She said, "Would you like to donate the rest to the whatever thing was?" I said, "Absolutely, I would." So I got out of there 15 cents cheaper than what I would have. I guess that, is that a sin that I didn't tell her I was not 55? I don't know. But I have not gotten my AARP card yet. But I'm not 55, though. See, that's, some of y'all don't realize I'm not 55. I've always looked older than what I really am. Now I'm feeling older than what I really am, and that's just kind of the way things happen. How many of you have ever said to somebody, maybe one of your children, "Pay attention"? Is that for an old man? Thank you. Anybody ever said, "Pay attention"? How many of you ever grabbed hold of your kid and said, "Pay attention"? I was out at Fort Stockton here a few weeks back, and my niece has two boys, and she's now pregnant with her third child, and she got confirmation it's a girl, which is what she asked for. It's awesome. But her little one is not quite 2 years old yet, and she was getting his attention one day, and she grabbed him by the chin, you know, how you do sometimes. She said, "Look at me." And he said, "Ow, my beard." It was his cutest thing. But we do that. We say, "Hey, pay attention." If we're going to give some instruction, we'll say, "Now, look at me. Look at me. Look me in the eye so I'll know that you hear me," right? We do that. Do what? That's right. And say it again. And then the third time's a charm, so we drive it in one more time. But we want people to give us their attention when we're giving them something important, right? So that we know that they hear it. Attention is important. It's important that people pay attention. I mean, when you drive down the road, you want people to pay attention to the stop signs, right? Some of you need to pay attention to the stop signs. We need to pay attention to the speed limit signs. We need to pay attention to the school zone signs. We need to pay attention. Well, we need to pay attention to more things than when we're just driving, right? For any real transformation to take place, it requires our attention. Oftentimes, the place of God's activity in our life is the same place of our attention, okay? Let me explain that. If God is moving in an area of our life, it's because we're giving it attention. Now, the opposite of this can be true. If God is not moving in an area of our life, it may be that we're not paying attention. We're not giving attention to that area. We ask God to move in our lives, such as our finances, our relationships, our spiritual condition. Folks, I'm convinced that God is already on the move. The question is, are we paying attention? Are we paying attention to what God is doing and how God is moving? I want to read to you this passage from Acts chapter 3. It will be on the screens if you have a copy of God's Word. Please open there. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, there's one under the chair in front of you. If you don't happen to have a copy of God's Word and would like one, I would love nothing more than to put one in your hands, free of charge. I believe the Word of God is important enough that anybody that wants one should have one. So if you don't have one, you get with me right after service. We'll walk right over to my office, and you can pick one out. I've got several over there, okay? That's why we have them, because there's no excuse for not having a copy of God's Word. If you're able and willing, would you please stand as we read Acts chapter 3, the first 10 verses? One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." It would be really cool if he said he grabbed him by the chin and said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with him into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Thank you. God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. This may be the first time he's ever got to go into the temple. And what a day. What a day for him. This Peter, the one we just read about, was on a boat one night. And the other disciples, they were with him, and a storm opened up. And it just came a squall on the lake, on the Sea of Galilee there, now called the Lake of Gennesaret. Jesus came walking on the water. They saw him. They recognized him. They were afraid at first. He said, "Don't be afraid. It's me." Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you." So Jesus said, "Come." Did you ever notice that if you ever ask Jesus if you can come to Him, He never says no. He always says, "Come." Sometimes what we want is, "Jesus, come to me. Because I don't want to have to move. I don't want to have to step out. I don't want to have to, Jesus, come to where I am." But Jesus always says, "Come. Come." That was a side note. It was not in my notes. Peter began walking on the water. Y'all know what happened to Peter? He lost his focus. He started paying more attention to the wind and to the waves than to Jesus. He began to sink, and Jesus had to rescue him. Peter knows about paying attention. This is the same Peter. Sometime later, and he sees the man. He tells the man, "Look at us. Look at us." He knows about paying attention. He knows about the cost of not paying attention. And folks, the same is true in our lives. We ask, why am I sinking? Why am I drowning? Why am I going through all of this stuff? You see, it's not an issue of a lack of God's presence, but it's a lack of our paying attention. The place of change you're looking for is the place of your attention. The problem is that we're ADHD Christians. Now, let me explain this, okay? ADHD, attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder. It's a real thing. It is real. And if you have that struggle or know someone with ADHD, you know it's real and that it is a struggle. And I'm not making light of this at all, folks. Listen, hear me on this. Pay attention. I'm not making light of this at all. It's a real thing. This condition causes someone to have great difficulty focusing and paying attention. But what I'm talking about today is a spiritual condition that causes us to lose focus, and it makes it difficult to pay attention to the things of God. Folks, there's never been a time in our history or the history before us when more things vie for our attention than the time we live in right now. Our lives are like Buffalo Wild Wings. Anybody ever been to Buffalo Wild Wings? I love that place. Asian Zing. It's my sauce of choice. I love it. Buffalo Wild Wings, anybody? Come on, show me so I know who I'm talking to. Okay. Well, here's the deal. For those of you that don't know Buffalo Wild Wings, let me introduce you a little bit. You walk in. You do play video games because they have their little games here. You can play video games. They've got 57 TVs. I don't know how many. There's a whole bunch of them. Big screen TVs all over the place. And they're all on different channels. Every one of them, seems like. You walk in, they sit you down, and there's just so much going on. We spend our time looking around trying to determine which game do I want to watch, which talk show, what do I want to watch. We spend all our time checking it out. Okay, I don't know if I want to watch that one or this one. We spend all our time focusing on all this stuff that we forget that there's actually a person sitting across the table from us. That's our lives. There is so much going on, so much activity. We forget the things that are right close to us. Priorities tell us, I can't get to everything, but I can get to what matters most. Those things that we've set in our lives are priorities. I can't get to everything, but I will get to these things. Those things right there are what's important to you. You see, we come to church and we get all worshiped up. Anybody get worshiped up this morning? That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We get all worshiped up. We get prayed up. We get confessed up. Some of us get coffeeed up. Some of us get fed up. Then we walk out into a world and we forget what the Lord has just told us. We come in here and we, in the middle of the service, we get, woo, fired up. God, I'm going to do this. I'm doing that. We come to the altar, we pray, and yes, Lord, change my life. I'm today's the day. I'm different. We walk out of here and it's like, man, that was good. What's that? What's this? Who's that? Did you go to church today? I think so. What was it about? I don't know. I don't know. You can check it out online. I don't remember. We forget. We walk right out of this place wanting change, but we walk out of here and get distracted. We have work. We have kids, families, friends, and they're all tugging at us for our attention. Have you ever noticed that whatever is the loudest usually wins? You know the old phrase, a squeaky wheel gets the grease? Yeah, that's the truth. The problem is that with God, He sometimes shouts at us, but most often He speaks in that gentle whisper, that still small voice. And we miss it because of the volume of other things in our lives. We're so distracted. But listen, for real change to take place, it requires our attention. In verse 1, one day, Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. Now, this was not Easter, or this was not Christmas. This was not high attendance Sunday at the temple. This was one day, just like any other day, at 3 o'clock. This was a custom. This was a habit. This was their mode of operation. It's 3 o'clock. We're headed to the temple to pray. They had made prayer a priority. I spent a lot of time preaching about priorities lately, haven't I? But listen, if you want to see where somebody's headed in life, look at their priorities. Look at what's important to them. See what they give attention to, and you'll see where they're headed. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you sat down and took inventory of all the activities in your life? To sit down and write it out. This is what I do. I spend my time on this. I do this. I do this. This is how much time I spend on this. This is where I do my stuff. This is just write it all down. Look at it. I would challenge you to do that. If everything is a priority in your life, folks, nothing is a priority in your life. There has to be some things that move to the top of the list and stay there. There has to be some things that, yeah, I like all these things, but these are the most important things in my life. Have you ever experienced that feeling when you look up and wonder, how did I get here? Sometimes, anybody ever experienced that when you're driving somewhere? Yeah, because you haven't been paying attention, right? That'll preach. You got to pay attention to where you're going. Sometimes we wake up and say, how did I get here? How did I get into this financial situation? How did I get so far into this relationship? How did I just graduate my child and feel like I missed so much? How did I become addicted? How did I move so far away from God? Folks, it happens because we're not paying attention. It wasn't a priority. You give attention to what's priority in your life. I mean, we say they're priorities, and we really want them to be priorities, but we failed to put in the work to make it happen. The priority of Peter and John is what positioned them for the miracle that day. They were in that place because there was something that was important to them they were going to do. Okay? They were going to pray. It was a priority in their life. And what would have happened if they woke up and said, John, I don't think we need to go to church today. You know what would have happened had they said that? Nothing. Nothing would have happened. The miracle would not have happened. Now, this might sound confusing based on what I've just been talking about, but listen, we need to pay attention to our distractions. Now, I'm not saying you give them 100% of your attention to every distraction, but you need to give just enough attention to see if God is trying to get your attention out of the routine, out of the mundane, out of the normal, out of the everyday. See if God is trying to get your attention. Peter and John, they were distracted by this lame beggar on their way to church. Now, Peter and John were regular goers to the temple. This man was a regular beggar at the gate called Beautiful for probably close to 40 years. But it was this day, after the ascension of Jesus. By the way, this was the first miracle performed by the apostles after Jesus was ascended. Okay? First miracle. This day, that man caught their attention. What I'm saying is that we need priorities. But listen, one of those priorities in our life must be to build in margin in our schedule for God to work outside of our schedule. If we get ourselves so rigid and scheduled up, we don't have room for God to do the spontaneous things. We don't have room for God to bring somebody in that really needs a touch or a word. We don't have time for that. Remember that old commercial, that old song? Ain't nobody got time for that. That's what I'm saying. Ain't nobody got time for that. Oh, yeah? We need to pay attention, because sometimes the distraction is God's invitation. We have to pay attention so we don't miss those opportunities provided by God. And if we don't make that a priority, it won't happen. God's invitations often come in the form of distractions. Now, you may not have what everybody wants from you. This beggar, what was he wanting? Obviously, he wanted money. Peter and John didn't have it. Silver or gold I do not have, Peter said. You may not have what people want from you. But listen, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Christ and you put your faith and your trust in Him, you have what they need. Matter of fact, you have everything that they need. That is Jesus. Maybe we need to stop paying attention to what you don't have. Stop paying attention to what we don't have and concentrating on what we do have. And then I think we need to pay attention to our movements. Did you notice when the miracle took place? Let's look at that again. In verse 6, he said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Did the man get up and walk? The words were powerful. He even invoked the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Nazareth. Is that when the miracle happened? Let's look at verse 7. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. So strong that verse 8 said he jumped to his feet and began to walk. It was when Peter moved and acted out his faith, when he reached and helped the man to his feet, that the man was healed. Some of you have been praying to God, "God, do something in my finances. I'm struggling. We don't have enough money. There's more month at the end of the paycheck than there is paycheck at the end of the month. Do something in my relationship. Do something to draw that person to you. Lord, that person needs Jesus. Lord, draw them to you. Draw them. Speak to them. Change them. Do something about my addiction." Folks, the miracle did not happen when Peter made that bold and great statement and used powerful words. It happened when Peter had enough faith to move on what he had just said. Some people say, "God, if you want me to tithe, I want to be a tither. I want to be a tither. God, if you want me to tithe, you need to fix my finances so I'll have enough to tithe." That's not how it works. God says, "Tithe and I'll bless you. Bring first." I'm losing my voice. "Bring first the tithe into the storehouse and then see if I don't open up the treasures of heaven so much that you can't even stand it." Priorities. Priorities. Few people actually take God at His word and make that move. Peter and John, they paid attention. They moved, and God provided an opportunity for thousands to hear and respond to the gospel. Because right after this, all these people, they saw the guy that he was in the temple. And they're like, "What are you doing here? Well, how are you walking? What's up?" And he told it. And then the crowd started gathering around, and Peter preached. Thousands responded because they paid attention. Because they allowed God to move in a way that was just outside of their schedule, they paid attention and saw that God was moving. In this study that we're about to be doing, the Experiencing God, one of the things, it's been several years since I've done it, but one of the most profound statements that I remember from this study was, if you want to get involved in God's work, see where He's moving and go join it. God's already working in places. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love Him. You can't fathom. It reminds me of the old, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. You can't even fathom how much God wants to bless you and honor you and do things for you and do things through you. You can't even imagine. You can't imagine the impact that you have on people's lives. You can't even think about how much you can influence someone. It's beyond your imagination, but God, not beyond God's. God wants to do that through you. He wants to do that through us. Folks, you're going to miss out on some of the biggest blessings that God has in store for you and for others through you if you don't pay attention. We have got to pay attention. When I started this sermon, my focus was going to be on the beggar, because they basically said, pay attention. They said, look at us. Give me your attention. But folks, before it could ever get to that point, Peter and John had to pay attention. They had to be able to hear the Word of God. They had to be able to feel that nudge from the Holy Spirit that says, look over here to your right. See this thing that's going on over here. I want to use you in that situation. They had to pay attention enough to say, Lord, I'm going to walk through this thing, and I'm going to go about my schedule, but I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm going to keep my eyes open to see if there's something you want to do through me in a way that I didn't even know about yet. I'm going to pay attention. Folks, we've got to pay attention. There is stuff coming at us from all different directions. The good, the bad, the ugly, it's all coming. We've got to pay attention. We got to be able to notice things. You got to be able to notice, nope, not that. I paid attention. I noticed that. I'm not going there. Nope, not that. Pay attention to this. Oh, wait a minute. Could that be something God wants? Oh, nope. Never mind. Oh, I didn't know. What is this? Yeah, oh. I think God wants to use me in that. Let me go investigate that. On our way to the temple. Going through our regular routine, we've got to be able to notice things. And folks, listen, if you will ask God, God, provide a divine appointment for me today. Provide something outside of my regular schedule that you want to use me. Folks, that is a prayer that He loves to answer. You know why it gets answered? Because we said, I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to be looking for those opportunities. I'm going to be looking. I'm going to be watching for, Lord, what you want to do to me and through me. We've got to pay attention. We have to pay attention. Folks, as we get ready to go through the study, I'm telling you, 14 weeks from now, 15 weeks from now, this church is going to have gone through a metamorphosis. I believe it. We're going in a caterpillar. We're going to come out a butterfly. If we will get serious and say, God, I want to experience you. I want to feel the realness of you. I want to see your hand at work in my life. Lord, I want to be your hand in other people's life. And folks, when we do that, we're going to see God do some amazing things. More than our mind can conceive. But it doesn't happen if we don't pay attention. I'm not sure what your struggle has been this morning. We all have struggles, every one of us. I have struggles. You have struggles. We all have struggles. I'm not sure what your struggle is this morning. Maybe God is using the struggle to get your attention. I don't know. Have you asked Him? Have you asked Him? God wants to use you. If you think that God saved you for you alone, you are sorely mistaken. That's only the beginning of God's story for your life. He wants to use you. Maybe big or maybe small ways. But are you willing? Are you willing? Father, help us to pay attention. Father, help us to see your hand at work. And Lord, help us to be willing to get involved in that work. Lord, thank you that you work in our routines. But Lord, thank you that sometimes you bring things in outside of our routines. And Lord, I know from my experience with you that sometimes those are the greatest opportunities and bring the greatest blessings of being able to minister to someone, to help them and just receive the recognition from you, Father, that yes, I was obedient to your word. Lord, thank you for those times. And I pray, Lord, that as we go throughout this week, that we would be watching for those things. We'd be watching for those opportunities. And we would take full advantage of them, Lord. And just watch you go to work. Well, there are people here that are struggling this morning. When I talked about how did I get here? How did I get into this? Lord, there are people here this morning that are asking that very question. How did I get here? Well, at this point, it doesn't really matter. At this point, it doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is, Lord, how can I get out of here? And Lord, the answer is always Jesus. So, Father, help us to come to you. Help us to pay attention that you are the answer. You are the way out. You are our source. You're a provider. You're our rescuer. Lord, help us to come to you. Stand to your feet if you would. The praise team is going to lead us through a little song. I just want to encourage you. I don't know why this has been on my heart so much lately, but I'm not going to avoid it because I believe that the Lord is using it. The miracle didn't happen when Peter said the words. The miracle happened when Peter moved. Some of you need to move. That's all I'm going to say. Some of you need to move. Some of you have been praying, Lord, do this. Help me this. Change me this. But you're not moving. Some of you need to move. Move. I don't know if that means moving here to the altar, moving somewhere else, moving, making movement in your life. I don't know. But sitting and talking doesn't get the job done. We've got to move. We've got to move. The miracle happened when Peter moved. I'm going to invite you to move. I'm going to invite you to move. As always, our routine, I'm standing here. Rebecca will be joining me. The altar is open as routine. But maybe God needs you to do something out of the ordinary, out of the routine. I would encourage you to do it. Whatever that is, do that this morning. Show God I'm ready and I'm willing and I'm paying attention and I'm not going to miss this opportunity to grow, to minister, to move, to touch, to be touched. I'm going to move. As we sing, you respond.